Blog Talk Radio.
Guest up in a couple minutes that we will get to momentarily. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tease the person. We are coming off a win by Charles Schwartzel at the 2016 Valspar Championship. Beat Bill Haas in a playoff. It's the 11th worldwide win for Charles. I believe it's the 12th worldwide win. 10 of them not coming on the PGA Tour. But his first PGA Tour win since that 2011 Masters win, and made a boatload of putts in the back nine, including the bomb, the 64-footer, I believe it was, on 13, that helped propel him towards the lead. And then when Haas stumbled down the stretch, ultimately ended up in a playoff where par was good enough, and Charles back in the winner's circle. And what's interesting is that the last five Masters champions have all won so far this year on the PGA Tour. Charles, Bubba, Adam Scott, Bubba again, obviously, and Jordan Spieth. So it's interesting. Phil now, 2010 Masters, is the last Masters champion to have not won on the PGA Tour this year, and there's no other major champion, I believe, that has gotten into the winner's circle on the PGA Tour so far this year. So it's interesting in that regard that it's been, of all people, Masters champions. Obviously, Jordan has the U.S. Open, but if we go back to the wraparound season, are there any other major champions? Graham McDowell. Won in Mayakoba. So Graham McDowell obviously won that 2010 U.S. Open at Pebble. He's there, and Jason Duffner, with his win, won the Career Builder. He obviously won that PGA Championship, but that's it for major champions, and that's good news for the Green Jackets down there at Augusta, because that means their field has not expanded, and they want to keep under 100, and with just three events that will get you into the Masters left, Arnie's Place, the match play, and Shell, looks like they will do that unless I think they'll do that no matter what. So good news for the Green Jackets, good news for a good guy Charles Schwartzel, who said that he doubted himself mentally if he could keep on winning after all these years, which is interesting. You rarely hear somebody admit that they doubt that they can still win on tour after this long. But clearly for him, it was a long time coming, and a win that will be celebrated a lot back in his native South Africa, and a win that could propel him to be a favorite come the drive, down Magnolia Lane. He's such a smart guy, such a good guy, with such talent and a beautiful golf swing, and finally had his putter wake up on the back nine. We will be joined by a special guest in 30 seconds. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes. Bob Costas, and then our guest.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA's doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We are going to be joined momentarily, as we just passed 605 in the east, 305 out west. Daylight savings time having begun, by a very special guest who has, I don't believe, ever appeared on Teeing It Up.
Mr. Schilling, are you there?
It is my pleasure to welcome in to Teeing It Up the guy who runs two happening things, Pebble Creek Golf Course in Colts Neck, New Jersey, and right next door, the brand new Huddy's Inn restaurant and bar, which just opened in its new location, Ray Longobardi Jr. Hello, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Schilling. I'm very honored to be a guest on your show. I know you've been doing it for quite a while. I know we've had a good friendship for a number of years here, so I figured I'd get on. We could talk about some stuff and just catch up. It's, like I said, it's an honor to be on the show, and I'm glad to hear and see that you're doing well.
Thank you, and I'm glad to have you on the show. Let me ask you this. When you have a successful restaurant, why consider the move? Why change what was working?
I mean, with any business, you always have a base group of customers that you want to satisfy. So I understand the question, why change something that's working? In our case, it had to do more with the business end of things. Our previous ownership turned the business over to us in pretty much a deal gone wrong. We didn't intend to get into the business, so we inherited some tough rental rates, some servicing in the shopping center. We had to pay a lot of expenses that you wouldn't have us expected to. So it's just one of those things where it made a lot of sense for us to move to a new location. We own the new building. We own the property. Obviously, it's adjacent to Pebble Creek. So we're trying to satisfy everyone that liked the old place by recreating the feel, and we're trying to take advantage of owning the building for our own benefit, not having to pay a landlord anymore. So that was the heart of the move and why we ended up where we are.
For those that don't know, Huddy's Inn, the new Huddy's Inn location happens to be right next to Pebble Creek Golf Course, which is located off of 537 in Colts Neck, New Jersey. This was a long process for you guys, and you finally, finally reached the grand moment with the grand opening at the new location. And from what I can tell, it seems like so far so good.
You know, it's one of those things where when you're undertaking first of all, we don't have public water in Colts Neck. Everything is well and septic. So, I mean, when you're undertaking a process that's this big, you start to deal with a lot of government involvement, government agencies and stuff like that. And, I mean, our water treatment plant alone that deals with our waste and the oils and the kitchen product that comes out, that whole system alone is well into the six-figure range. And that was really the big holdup that took us so long to get to this point. Just one of those things where, society has become so environmental conscious that you have to make sure all your ducks are in a row to make sure that you're not only helping the economy, but making sure that you're not, that there's nothing wrong that's going to hurt the environment. So, I mean, when you start getting governmental agencies involved, and don't get me wrong, we respect what they do, it just becomes a long process. So, I mean, it took a long time, but we're finally here. As you referred to, we're adjacent to the golf course. So, I mean, it's really nice to be able to create an experience for our golfers over here, and also to reward our customers at Huddy's Inn, and also bring new customers in just looking for the restaurant and bar experience. So, I mean, it took a long time, but we couldn't be happier with how it turned out, and the feedback we've been getting for the most part has been positive. So, you know.
And obviously for you guys, it's nice having, the two properties on the same crop of land, basically. You know, it's interesting because golf and restaurant touring or restaurant tiering, however that correctly spelled, are basically the same thing. They're both service industries. And And you have to please your customer, or else your customer won't, you know, show up. So as you built the new Huddy's Inn, was there anything you learned from Pebble Creek that, that you transferred into the new building?
It's a very good question, especially because, as you referred to, the customer profiles are very similar. At Pebble Creek, it's a daily fee public golf course where our business model is built on giving the customers the most bang for their buck, especially in an industry that's shrinking. Huddy's Inn is the same way. It's you know, we're known for our fair prices and generous portion sizes. So, again, it's very value-based. You want to make people feel like they're spending their money at your business and they're happy spending it there. So as far as, you know, as far as Pebble Creek goes, someone once told me that they viewed every customer they had. Actually, I learned this at a PGA seminar, that every customer that they had, they considered a $100,000 customer. Now, if that means that they're in a business where the person spends $1,000 and has to go X amount of times to reach that number, or if they're in a business where it's they spend $10 and you just want to keep bringing them back to get to that number, the idea is, you know, to try to build such a rapport that people are going to continue to come to your business. So, I mean, with Pebble Creek, we spend a lot of time in the conditions of the greens. We add extra staffing to make sure pace of play is all right. And we put money constantly back into the golf course, whether that's recontouring around the greens, putting in seniors' tees and women's tees. I mean, pretty much what you said is dead on, is that we've always wanted to create an environment where people said, man, I really like spending my money at Pebble Creek because I see where the dollar goes. I see that I'm getting the most out of the dollar. And then that the same thing happens at Huddy's Inn. I mean, we do weekly specials, a steak special on Wednesday night that's very popular, very reasonably priced, $15.99. We have cross promotions with golfers that play here and then head over there where they can get a little bit of a discount. So, I mean, you know, you always want to try to bring the bar up to get the customers back. And it's very hard in these industries because there's always competition. Golf industry has obviously been shrinking the past few years. Restaurant industry just has a lot of competition by nature from places popping up and people want to get into the business. So, you know, everything that I've learned since I've been at Pebble Creek, I've really tried to apply over at Huddy's Inn. And, you know, we're trying to do the best we can. And like I said, it's very easy when you're dealing with the same type of customer.
Right. You know, it would be drastic if you're dealing with a very different customer, either socioeconomically or demographically. We're talking to Ray Longobardi Jr., who is the guy who runs both of the Huddy's Inn and Pebble Creek Golf Course in Colts Neck, which are right next to each other. You told somebody, I think it was the Two River Times, that you made some tweaks to the menu for the new Huddy's Inn, which is interesting because obviously when you have a restaurant that's working, you know, changing the menu is not something you see often. So what was the thinking behind that, and did that have anything to do with thinking that a golf base might be coming to the restaurant and trying to get more foods on the menu that that they might like?
Again, very good question, because whenever you're talking about something that's been successful, you don't want to change it too much. Essentially, we came from a background of restaurants like Tiger's Tail, Ivy League, other popular restaurants in the area. That's where our general manager came from. And it's a big specials menu for dinner, probably about 20 to 25 items, and then it's probably about another 90 on the dinner menu. So what we really wanted to do is we just wanted to shave off a few of the items that don't sell as much. And instead of going to like a comprehensive 125 menu items, maybe take it down to about 100. Our thinking there is this, is that we've done what we could in building the restaurant to have the same feel for existing customers. Now, for new customers, I don't know about yourself, your family, friends, stuff like that, but if I go out to eat with my girlfriend and service is lacking because it's slow, it's going to take a lot for me to go back out and dine there again. So what we figured was we're going to slim down the menu and remove a few things that haven't sold as well. We're going to also shrink our specials menu and allow our chefs to have a little more creative control, maybe bring some new items in. And also bringing down that specials menu is going to sort of focus people's attention to that some new stuff is coming in. Everything that was on special before that sold well, we moved over to the regular menu. So we have a more comprehensive model for our regular menu, and then the specials menu gives us a little bit more flexibility now. So, I mean, the other part of your question is good as well, because, look, as far as golfers go, when you're done playing golf, or what we've learned is that our customers want fast food. I don't say fast food as in fast food, but they want quick food when they come off the golf course. So, I mean, you're done. You've been out on the golf course for 4 hours. Maybe you snacked. Maybe you didn't. But you want to get a burger. You want to get a sandwich. You want to get, you know, some appetizers. You're not there really to, after you play golf, to have something that's going to take a while to get there, at least from what we've seen. From our great customer base over the years. So, I mean, slimming down the menu and also shifting it more towards, you know, more burgers, appetizers, stuff like that. We did some visual cues to the menu. We boxed out items that have been popular. So, I mean, having the golf course next door definitely is, especially at lunchtime when guys are coming off the golf course, we want to really have the base of our menu be stuff, especially for lunchtime, that's gonna satisfy the desires of those customers. So the golf definitely played a role in some modifications of the menu.
And the final Huddy's In question, which is, I would be completely remiss if I did not ask you one question about alcohol. So were there any other alcohol drink menu changes made during this move?
So the biggest change is actually has not taken effect yet. The biggest change is that we're building an outside bar under the gazebo, the outside patio area, which is roofed in and part of the building. Now that's going to be probably a 16 to 18 seat bar. We're actually consulting with our bartenders now just to make sure that the layout is ideal for them to serve the customers. But once that's up and running, I'm assuming sometimes around the first week of May, we're actually going to have a full bar outside. We're going to have four TVs. So we're going to have an 80-inch and 365 inches, all-weather TVs. So we're going to be able to do a bunch of stuff there. We already have a promo plan for Masters Sunday in the fall. Football season, we're going to have outdoor stuff. So, I mean, the biggest change on the bar end of things has just been that, in addition to our inside bar, which obviously has gotten bigger from the old location, is that we are building a beautiful outside structure to really satisfy the need for the guys coming off the golf course, and also to give something in the Monmouth County area that really isn't around outside of heading down the shore, where we're going to be able to handle a decent amount of people outside, probably somewhere to 40 to 50 max, can enjoy outside on the outside bar. So, that's the biggest change there. The drink menu hasn't really changed, but the structure of the second bar itself is what's something that we're really excited about.
All right, golf, Pebble Creek, what is working? What do you guys do that, in your opinion, works, that this industry at large needs to recreate?
All right. It's something that we're trying to come up with a plan to keep people. Pebble Creek is something that it's been something that we've really worked hard on these last five or so years. Like I said before, one of the biggest things that we did, and I'm just going to go over this again quickly because I have a few other things I want to list. We constantly are putting money back into the golf course. One of the biggest things is because, you know, there's not a lot of people that can play golf during the week. So that's mainly your senior group. Building the senior tees, doing some cart paths in better areas, stuff like that, capital improvement has really made a big difference, because you hear it all the time, guys coming off the golf course. Wow, it was really nice to see so-and-so was done. A tee was put in. A green was recontoured around. A bunker was redone. I mean, people really like seeing that, especially when you go to other places where beautiful golf courses, but you're not seeing as much work done on a year-to-year basis. I mean, it just makes people feel good that it feels like they're spending their money and it's, you know, they've become a part of the golf course. Another big thing that we've done is, I mean, we have some great programs here, programs, price-related stuff that we do. We have a VIP program. It gives you 5% back on every dollar you spend. So, I mean, throughout the course of the year, there's guys that spend a lot of money here, and they'll get two or three free rounds throughout the course of the year. So people love that kind of stuff. We introduced a 4 p.m. super twilight rate in season, which allows guys to come out instead of a nine-hole rate. That way they come out for like the equivalent of a nine-hole rate. They'll maybe get 13 or 14 holes in, things like that. And then the other big thing that we do is we have a lot of outing business. We really specialize in outings. Every Monday and Friday, we have full shotgun outings, over 100 people where the golf course is closed. We've sort of made our niche in this area on service with outings, and we really try to drive that point home. We do a lot of outing-based stuff because, like I said, there's only so much that so many people that can play golf during a week. So you know on the weekend that golf courses are going to be busy because guys are off, and if they don't have to watch the kids or, you know, if they don't have other responsibilities, they're going to go play golf. But during the week, it's hard to get people out here. So, I mean, we do what we can to put programs in place, to put price bracketing in place to get people out here during the week. And, I mean, it seemed to work out really well. Now, this year, obviously, we have the new restaurant and bar next door. So, I mean, I think our numbers are going to change because of that, because guys are going to want to make a day out of going to play golf. It's not just like it's going to come here to play golf and then take off. Now they can go afterwards, hang out, have a few beers, stuff like that. So, I mean, we're excited with the things that we've done. We're happy with the things that we've done, and we're excited to continue to grow or do what we can to get people to the golf course.
Talking with Ray Longobardi Jr., the guy who runs Pebble Creek and runs Huddy's. It's interesting because one of the characteristics of your golf course, and it drives me nuts, and it's nothing against you guys, obviously, is long par threes. And when it comes down to pace of play, your golf course is fairly short except for the par threes that are long. And I'm sure you guys have studied this because you take this stuff seriously. What has the impact of having long par threes on a relatively short golf course otherwise done to your pace of play?
Yeah, you know, it's first of all, to answer the question about the par threes is that I just got to give you a little bit of history. This was a farm prior to being a golf course. Now, there was restrictions on home building here. That's where my father came from. He's a real estate developer guy, so that's why it became a golf course. So we had Hal Purdy, who's done a ton of golf courses in this area. He was a great architect. He did Stone Harbor. He did a bunch of golf courses. I don't know offhand because I have to look at my notes. But a lot of those, he's a par three guy, first of all. And second of all, due to the sort of the land restrictions, longer par threes sort of fit the way that the golf course was going to be built. Now, the point you make is a good one because the long par threes definitely have an impact on the golf course. We try to offset that by having bigger greens. And an easier hitting target. But, I mean, part of the reason that we have been building forward tees or renovating tees in the par threes is just because, you know, it's hard enough to hit a good golf shot. And then it's really hard for the general public to, when they know they have to hit just one, to hit one. So when you're talking about longer holes like that, we're trying to help with pace of play because, like you said, it's just if you hit a bad shot on a par three, you could be looking at a big number. Big number results in slower play, you know. So, I mean, part of our goal here, which is sort of a question that you asked without actually asking the question, is to sort of soften up our par threes a little bit just for the pace of play. So, I mean, you know, pace of play definitely is impacted by longer par threes. Like I said, it's hard to hit a good golf shot. It's harder to hit a good golf shot when you only really in your mind have one chance to hit a good golf shot. It's not like you top a drive and then you hit a good second shot. So, I mean, par threes are something that we've been very aware of here. We do have some tough holes. Par threes are not easy holes here. But we've been widening our tee area. We actually are resurfacing the third hole's tee this year to give us a little more flexibility to move stuff up. So, I mean, it definitely has an impact on the pace of play, par threes.
Yeah. By the way, Hal Purdy designed Fiddler's Elbow, Fours Gate, Rutgers' golf course. Those are just three of the ones.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Came up.
Hal Purdy was great. Obviously, he worked with my father in 94, 95. I was only 11 years old then, so I didn't get to meet him. But my father said he was nothing but a class guy, loved the game of golf, loved design in Pebble Creek. And like I said, I knew that he had a lot of courses in the area. And he definitely we're happy with what he did, because it's not like we gave him a plot of land with no restriction. I mean, he built a pretty nice golf course on a tighter area, you know? So again, it's great.
Yeah. All right. Anybody who comes on Teeing It Up gets at least one odd question from me. So this is your one odd question, Ray. You are currently building a house. I think there's a lot of people out there and maybe listening who are absolutely addicted to HGTV and mm-hmm. find that fantastic programming just to watch when there's nothing else good on and they just want something mindless to watch. And I mm-hmm. think home building and home renovating has become sexy in a way. You know, they see it on the show and it's packaged into a nice, you know, 30-minute program. How does actual home building compare to the television home building?
It's a great question, because on TV home building, it always seems like that the budget is never really gets gone too far over. I know Love It or List It and stuff like that. I do watch these shows too myself. I find it very interesting. But one thing I'm going to say about home building in reality versus home building on TV is expect to go way over your budget. I mean, just expect. I mean, my house, I don't have all the amenities that I wanted, and I tried to watch what I put in. But, I mean, I'm still 25% over my original budget. So, I mean, to anyone out there that's getting ready to renovate a home, build a home, whatever they want to do, my advice is this. Prepare to spend more than you thought you were going to spend, and not a little bit more, a significant amount more, or at least salt that money away so that if it gets to the point where you have to go over budget, you're prepared. Because like my father said, he said, you always go in thinking one thing, hoping for another, and getting a third.
Yeah. What has been your favorite part of building a home?
You know, my favorite part of building a home has been, you know, seeing my ideas come to light in a place that I'm going to spend the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You know, like I wanted a wraparound porch on my house. I visualized it. I talked to my architect. He designed it. I wanted an open floor plan with two islands, one so that I could peer into my living room from my kitchen. I put that in. I mean, it's nice to see things that you visualize in your mind come to reality. So I just think it's a really cool thing. By nature, I'm a control freak. My girlfriend and my mother will be the first ones to tell you that. I do love to have my two cents on everything, my stamp on everything. So, I mean, it sort of fits my personality. So, I mean, it was just one of those things where, it's been a hard road. I've had to make compromises, but it's been nice to see the things that I've wanted come to my life. So I'm happy with that.
And I think for anybody who does this, that's the ultimate goal is to be able to, A, move into a place that they're happy, and B, get to a state where they can say, I went through the trials, I went through the tribulations, but, you know, this is what I want, and I finally have the house that I'm looking to live in for the next, you know, 10, 20 years. And if I had to go over budget to get that perfect place, so be it.
That's it. And I couldn't ask for a place. It's a quarter mile of road from both businesses. So, I mean, my commute will be lightning quick in the morning.
There you go. 30 seconds. Your pick right now, this second, to win the Masters is?
I mean, Jason Day, that's with my heart. I know that he's had a slow start to the year, hasn't played a lot. But, I mean, he's been up there before, battled a thumb injury a few years ago. But I'm picking Jason Day. I think that he's going to continue the momentum. And I'll throw you a bonus pick. I have Adam Scott winning again this week at Bay Hill.
Hey, I like that pick. He's got it going. And needless to say, he has the mojo going the right way with the non-anchor stroke. Ray, I got to run. Thank you so much for coming on Teeing It Up. Great convo. Great talking to you. Thanks for doing it.
I had a blast. Hopefully, again, I know you got a busy schedule. You could fit me in at some point again this year. But, Mr. Schilling, thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity, and it's been great talking to you.
You got it. That's all for Teeing It Up today. We'll see you back here next week, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm on archive. on iTunes on Archive. Just search Teeing It Up. Thanks. See ya. Good night.